Episode number 27 of The Champion is brought to you by The Great Courses and the latest course they have for you, Writing Great Fiction, Storytelling Tips and Techniques, taught by Professor James Hines, a novelist and also a writing instructor. Now, I know a lot of you junkies out there are fiction writers, are aspiring fiction writers, or maybe that's something that you've always wanted to try and haven't quite gotten around to it yet. This course is a masterclass in storytelling with great tips and insights for anyone. Since you can't hang out at my desk and watch how I do it because I got to get stuff done, you can watch Professor Hines talk about how the business works, how the functions get done. This course covers character creation and development, writing and incorporating dialogue. Very important, all of my stuff functions on dialogue. That's what really drives a story. Plot, structure, pacing, draft revisions, many, many revisions must be done. Crafting a life as a fiction writer, yes, it covers everything in 24 30-minute episodes. You can watch it on your smartphone. You can watch it on your tablet, watch on your DVD, on your computer. You can listen to the courses as digital audio CD. You can get them online. You can have the physical properties there with you wherever you go. They got apps for Apple and Android devices. You name it, however you want to consume your media, The Great Courses hooks you up. So if you are a writer or want to be a writer, you've got to check this one out, because for a limited time, The Great Courses has a special offer for you. Get up to 80% off 8 different courses, including Writing Great Fiction, which brings the cost down to under $40. And if you try it and you don't like it, The Great Courses will let you exchange or return the course, no questions asked. You got nothing to lose. So go to thegreatcourses.com/Sigler. That's thegreatcourses.com/Sigler. Check out this course, and now on with our story. Welcome to The Champion, book 5 in the Galactic Football League series. Written and performed by author Scott Sigler, The Champion is suitable for ages 12 and up and contains graphic on-field violence. This novel, along with the first 4 books in the GFL series, is available as a full-length, unabridged, digital audiobook download from Audible, iTunes, and Amazon. As an ebook for Kindle, iPhone, iPad, Android, or any EPUB compatible device, and in paperback. The Champion is also available as a signed, numbered, limited edition hardcover while supplies last. To order any version, go to scottsigler.com/store. Hello, junkies. How was your weekend? Mine was bug nuts gonzo crazy. Not in the good way either, even though it was St. Paddy's Day. And I just recently found out that I am 1/8 and or 1/16th. I'm not so good with math. 1/8 Irish. Didn't know. All this time in my life, didn't know. Find that out 4 days before St. Paddy's Day. Didn't get to go out on the town. Why? Because I am behind on my deadline for Earthcore. Wah, wah, wah. The rewrite is taking longer than I thought. They always do. And I always delude myself into thinking, this time I got this down cold. This is going to be no problem. Knock this out by deadline. Everybody will be happy. I'm now closing in on a month behind my deadline. So I am working really, really hard. Hope to have this draft done by the end of March. Since I am writing so hard, there is no talky talk after this episode. We do have a second advertiser this week, so let me run that advertiser. I'm going to pay some bills. Then, after the ad, I'll get you caught up on the story. And then after you're caught up on the story, ladies and gentlemen, junkies of all ages, we will get into it. Our second advertiser this week is none other than ShipStation.com. They've been advertising a lot on our Friday fixes. A Kovacs and I just did a Friday fix where we covered our top 5 movies, but it was spur of the moment, like top 5 movies, go. And we talked about that. You can find that over at ScottSigler.com right under The Champion episode number 27. But ShipStation.com is also sponsoring The Champion. We are using this stuff. We love it. Lots of people, they sell stuff online. If you've ever sold things online, you know that getting all those orders in from the different places, from Amazon, Etsy, eBay, any place else you sell online, your own websites, consolidating them, fulfilling those orders, shipping everything out the way people want stuff shipped, it's preposterous and ridiculous. But ShipStation.com, that solves that problem for you. With them, you're going to be sending out more stuff in less time at the best rates. It gathers up all those orders, puts them in one place, helps you ship them out fast. It prints labels for you. It charges your account for postage, everything. Boom, boom, knocks it all out at once. It's no question. That's why it's the number one choice for online sellers. And they have a special offer for you, my listener. Try it free for 30 days. But wait for it. Get an additional 30 days free only if you use my last name, Sigler. That's 60 days free to see if this solution works for your business. And if you don't like it, it don't cost you nothing. So go to ShipStation.com before you do anything else. Click on that podcast button at the top of the page and type in Sigler. That is ShipStation.com. Enter S-I-G-L-E-R. Previously on The Champion. The Krakens were on board the Touchback and about to punch out for a road game at Nuwetok when the Regulator, flagship of the GFL, appeared. Quentin was ordered to his own quarters to meet with League Commissioner Rob Frost. The last time Frost was on the Touchback, someone got busted for mods and was never heard from again. What does Frost want this time? And now, episode number 27 of The Champion. Quentin entered his quarters to find several sentients already inside. The tiny form of Commissioner Frost, of course, wearing his ever-present outfit of a white shirt rolled up at the sleeves and a red tie embroidered with the GFL logo. Frost was sitting in Quentin's favorite chair, glaring with malice the second Quentin walked in. The hulking form of a Quith warrior was farther back, sitting on Quentin's workout bench. Ex-linebacker Leba the Gorgeous, wearing loose white pants with the GFL logo on the upper right thigh. Leba also held a stun stick. As far as fashion accessories went, Quentin decided he wasn't a fan. Flanking both Leba and Frost were two Sklorno in full battle armor, also white, with the GFL logo on their chest between their white armored tentacles. And to top it off, a white-furred Quith worker dressed in a white GFL administrator uniform, standing next to a purple-skinned human woman with short, white hair. It was seeing those last two that let Quentin know he was screwed. "Yolanda Davenport," he said. "And Y-Corps the Aware, is it?" The worker bowed.
"Exceptional recall abilities, Mr. Barnes,"
Y-Corps said.
"And may I say, your season thus far has been spectacular. Why, statistically speaking, you are on a pace to..."
"Later," Quentin said. "Whatever this is about, I want to get down to business." It had to be Sandoval. Frost wouldn't have escorted Yolanda here, using the GFL's flagship to do so, and come to Quentin's room himself unless she had a big, big story brewing. Something that could embarrass the league. Sandoval, obviously. Only that didn't explain why Leba held a stun stick, especially when the powered armor Sklorno looked like they could wipe out all the Krakens in a matter of minutes. Quentin owed Yolanda big time for setting up that meeting with his sister, but if this was about Sandoval, he had to deny everything. Even dead, Sandoval had the power to turn Quentin into public enemy number one. Quentin hated himself for it, but he needed to go on the offensive.
"I can't wait to hear what this is about, Yolanda. The last story you did on me turned out so well."
Frost pointed his stubby finger at Quentin's couch.
"Sit," the commissioner said. "I'll do the talking."
"Shouldn't Greedock be here for this?"
"I don't want him here," Frost said. "That's why I came when I did, because I know he's not on the ship. Now sit."
Quentin sat. Greedock wasn't making the trip to Dione, but the Touchback was still in orbit over Ionath. Frost could have easily requested Greedock's presence. Even more worrying was the absence of Hokor, who was on the ship. Frost and Yolanda wanted Quentin isolated, without allies. The commissioner stared. For such a tiny sentient, he had power in his eyes. The power of total authority and absolute conviction in what he did.
"We know," he said.
Frost waited, as did the others. Quentin looked at each of them in turn, wondering if maybe this time he was the one who didn't get the joke.
"Good for you," Quentin said. "You know what, exactly?"
Frost stood. He wasn't much taller standing than he was sitting.
"You want to play games, Barnes?"
Quentin shrugged.
"That is how I make my living, Commish."
Frost's dead-eye glare continued.
Quentin took the moment of silence to read the man. A bit of a flush to the dark complexion. Eyes dilated more than the other times Quentin had talked to him. Left thumb making small, almost imperceptible circles on the left pointer finger. Those signs indicated that Frost was doing his best to hide fear. Fear? Of what? Of Quentin? Why would the commissioner be afraid of him? If Frost had found out about Sandoval's blackmail, that would make him angry, not afraid. At least, not afraid of Quentin.
Look, Commish, I honestly don't know why you're here. What I do know is that you came into my quarters without being invited. I don't know where you grew up, but on McCovey, that's called breaking and entering. I also know you're holding up our trip to Dione. Whatever you know about me can't be that shocking, because all I do is play football. And make deals with blackmailing agents of the CMR, and be the focal point of a church of millions, and integrate new species into the league, and stop wars. You've been a busy boy, Quentin Barnes.
Frost's hard glare wavered. He seemed unsure. He glanced at Yolanda. Ah, so this was her doing after all. Now Quentin would find out what was happening. She let out a slow breath of air. Her purple skin looked darker in the cheeks. Her eyes were wide, her nostrils flared. She, too, was afraid. What the hell was going on?
I've been working on a story, she said.
Well, you are a reporter, Quentin said. I imagine you're always working on a story.
She shook her head.
Not like this. This is the big one. If it was anyone else, I would have already written and filed the story. But I was wrong about you once.
He crossed his arms.
Wrong about me? That's a rather kind way of putting it, don't you think?
She'd accused him of tanking games in her expose on how the Krakens, Quentin included, had abused the GFL's diplomatic immunity to help a known killer, one Julius Tweedy, escape justice. She'd been wrong across the board. Yolanda had made up for that mistake a few times over, sure, but the weeks following that story had been among the most difficult in Quentin's life.
I won't make that same mistake again, she said. That's why I'm here now, before I file the story. Right now, only the people in this room know.
The people in this room minus one, Quentin said. Can we stop with all this crap and get to the point?
Kleba the Gorgeous stood up. The two powered armor Sklorno shifted in place a little, widened their stances, as if they were getting ready for action. Yolanda nodded. Her nostrils flared even wider. She'd been afraid earlier. Now she was terrified.
All right, let's do this, she said. Quentin Barnes, how long have you been a leader in the Zoroastrian Guild?
He stared at her, waiting for her to say something like, just kidding, now on to the real question, but she didn't. All she did was stare back at him. Frost and Leba waited for his answer. The two white-armored Sklorno stood stock still. Quentin heard a slight hum droning from Leba's stun stick. He suddenly realized something he'd missed. Frost usually traveled with a flock of white-suited, entropic rifle-carrying Kredorakians. They were as much a part of his intimidating entourage as the powered armor Sklorno. Quentin understood why the bats had been left behind. The ZG's terrorist attacks had killed hundreds of thousands of Kredorakians. Sure, the bats didn't see death the same way humans and Quith did, but kill off 100,000 of any species, and the survivors are going to be a little bit pissed. If Yolanda had leveled her accusations at Quentin in the presence of armed Kredorakians, he might have already been dissolving from entropic rifle fire. Quentin gave his head a little shake. He had to get control of himself, stop whatever tells he might be giving off that would reveal his emotional state. But if he was giving off tells, that was okay, wasn't it? Because he wasn't a part of that murderous group.
I've never been in the guild, Yolanda, he said. This is even more ludicrous than when you accuse me of tanking games.
She nodded slightly, as if she had been expecting something along those lines.
Like I said, Quentin, that's why I'm here.
Could this season get any stranger?
I can't wait to hear your reasons. Because whatever went down, I was probably busy robbing a liquor store that day.
No one laughed. It was a strange sensation. He felt like he was in trouble, a lot of trouble, yet he had done nothing wrong. Yolanda started to speak, then stopped and activated her palm-up display. Quentin saw her reading her notes, saw her nodding slightly. She obviously had the information memorized, yet wanted to check it again before she spoke, just to be sure.
I have evidence of communication going to and from known guild cells, Yolanda said. These communications occurred when the touchback was in orbit around a planet for an away game.
She was serious. She actually thought someone in the Kraken's franchise was involved with those butchers?
That could be anything, Quentin said. The guild is probably communicating all over the place. And aren't you supposed to be a sports reporter?
I'm a reporter first and foremost, she said. I cover sports, and since this story involves a pro football team, I'm on it.
You're making blind accusations because of a couple of messages?
Not a couple, she said. 12 of them, over 4 seasons worth, beginning with your second year as a Kraken, which was your first year in Tier 1. My source uncovered hundreds of coded messages from multiple cities and on multiple planets. 12 of the messages in question came from the same device. All 12 of those messages occurred when the touchback was in orbit at that particular city. The correlation is too strong to be chance.
Quentin couldn't believe what he was hearing. If Yolanda and Wycor's information was accurate, someone in the Kraken's organization was a member of the Guild, a group that murdered civilians, that sought to overthrow Kratorakian rule, that had just caused the Borg uprising.
You're making a big accusation here, Quentin said. Really big. Who is your source for this?
Yolanda shook her head.
My source remains confidential.
Of course it does, Quentin said, not bothering to hide his disgust. You can just waltz in here and spout off accusations all you like, and you don't have to prove anything. Is that it?
Yolanda's expression hardened. Some of her fear melted away. He had just challenged her, and she was responding with aggression, the same way he would if someone challenged him on the football field.
The primary source doesn't matter, Barnes, because that source provided only the first 2 intercepted messages. Since then, I've discovered the other 10 messages myself through other means. My proof is solid, and if you really want to see it, just keep flapping your gums, and it will be there for you and the entire galaxy to see when I publish my story.
Take it easy, Froh sparked. We're here to get his side of it, not to threaten him that you're going to run the story no matter what he says.
Yolanda calmed herself. She nodded. Froh turned to Quentin.
Wycor independently verified her information, using our own sources in the Planetary Union Intelligence and the non-Kratorakian Intelligence Agency. There is zero question, Barnes. Messages sent to and from this ship reached Zoroastrian Guild cells.
Well, what if it's someone who isn't with the organization anymore? Quentin asked. It could have been Don Pine for all we know.
Froh looked at Wycor. The white-furred worker stepped forward.
The dates of known communication point to someone who is currently on the roster now, Mr. Barnes,
Wycor said.
The first encrypted message correlates to week 7 of the 2683 season, when the Krakens visited the Lou Juggernauts. Another was received last season, when Ionath visited Buddha City Station. Mr. Pine had been traded to the Jupiter Jacks before then and was not on the touchback at the time. The most recent incident occurred this season, the day after Ionath's Week 4 game at Yal. A message was intercepted at Planet Ol in the Key Rebel establishment the same day the touchback was in orbit there.
Quentin remembered the trip. Ol, home of the Brigands, was the first punch point en route from Yal to Neptune.
That message was partially decrypted, Froh said. We haven't got it all, but there were definitely phrases in that message that mention an uprising and an attack on downtown. Any guess as to what city was mentioned, Barnes?
Quentin's anger faded away. This couldn't be happening.
Bored, he said. It was a message about an attack on board.
Froh nodded. 3 weeks before the uprising that damaged Freedom Stadium and killed thousands of sentients all over the planet.
So decrypt the rest of the messages, Quentin said. Wouldn't that let you see who it is?
We're trying, Froh said. I have top sentients working on that, but the encryption is beyond military grade. We've been able to get bits and pieces only.
Yolanda was a reporter. She got paid for page views, so she might be prone to sensationalizing things if she smelled a great story. But Froh? He had nothing to gain from making this up, everything to gain from ignoring it or claiming Yolanda's information was wrong.
Say you're right, Quentin said. Say these messages are coming from the touchback. You don't know it's a player, right? It could be a member of the crew, someone from the administrative area.
Froh shook his head. I told you we decrypted parts of some messages. 3 of the messages involved information about meeting planet side to deliver or receive material like data cubes. Players have diplomatic immunity. The crew does not. Players like you, Barnes, can't be searched when you arrive at a planet. But if any crew member goes down, they are searched and their belongings are recorded. That means we can check customs records. For 2 of those meetings, no crew member left the touchback at all. And for 1, the crew member had nothing on her when she went planet side. That means if messages came from the touchback, they came from a player, your coach, or your owner.
If, Quentin said. If. You don't know for sure, do you? It could be just some other ship that happened to be at those planets.
He thought of Sandoval, following the team from game to game.
It could be a fan traveling to all of our games. Could be someone using us for cover.
He glanced at Yolanda, suddenly hoping she'd take a hint.
It could be a reporter assigned to the Krakens, couldn't it?
Froh smoothed his tie.
That's why Wycor is here, Barnes. He knows the electronic signature of the device in question. We know messages were received on planets where the touchback was in orbit. If Wycor can verify that those messages were sent from the touchback, that proves someone in the Kraken's organization is part of the ZG.
He'll find it, Yolanda said. It might take him a day or 2, or even a few weeks, but he will find it.
Something about the tone of her voice told him she couldn't run the story without that verification. But if she got it tomorrow, or any time before the playoffs for that matter, it would destroy the Kraken season.
Don't forget that sentients might have died because of this, Quentin, or that more might die if messages are sent. Maybe you should think about that in addition to football?
They wouldn't show Quentin the proof. But he'd met with the commissioner, and he trusted the man's intentions. This wasn't a witch hunt. This wasn't a payoff. This was real.
All I can tell you is it's not me, Quentin said. So what now, Froh? You're going to have your buddies over here in the powered armor drag me to your ship to never be heard from again?
Froh walked closer. Quentin struggled to control a swirling rage, but realized he wasn't angry at Froh anymore or even at Yolanda. Someone on the Krakens was in league with terrorists. Someone had used the organization to commit mass murder.
Barnes, I'm going to ask you 1 more time, Froh said. Do you have any connection with the guild?
Quentin crossed his arms and stared down.
No.
Froh turned to Yolanda.
We're going with Plan B.
What?
She pointed at Quentin.
That's it? You're just going to take his word for it? If he's one of them, he can lie as easily as taking a breath. At least give him a lie detector test or something.
Not necessary, Froh said. And there's no time. The Krakens have to get to New Wittok for this week's game. And besides, I believe him.
Quentin felt justified, even more so because of the indignant outrage written all over Yolanda's face.
You're worried about a game? She said. Unless you can get some kind of proof he's not involved, then you can't give him a free pass, you hear me? I'll run the story as is, Froh. You can't just decide he's innocent. There's a terrorist on the ship, and
I can decide anything I like.
Frost's scream made even Quentin flinch. It stopped Yolanda cold. The commissioner then spoke softly, which, in its own way, was even more frightening than the scream. Perhaps you don't understand who I am, he said to Yolanda. I am the commissioner of the Galactic Football League. My authority is given to me by the Kretorakian Emperor. If someone is a threat to the league, I can make them go away. Yolanda's face changed color from a purple of flushed anger to a paler shade, almost blue. So visible was the change, it reminded Quentin of a Quith cornea. Frost saw it, too.
Good. You get it, he said. This news could do too much damage to the league. You're not going to run anything until we find out who it is, so the public gets their bad guy and there aren't any lingering questions. And besides, Yolanda, tell me honestly, do you really think Barnes could be behind this?
Still a little shell-shocked from Frost's implied threat, she looked at Quentin, held his gaze for a moment, then sighed.
No, she said. I don't. You're right. Plan B.
He wasn't the primary suspect anymore, but something told him he didn't get to just walk away.
Let me guess, he said. I'm part of Plan B.
Yolanda will stay on board to do a story on you, Frost said. An all-access feature on the Galaxy Bowl MVP and how he goes about his daily life. That gives her a reason to be around you all the time. And that means she can keep digging. Y-Corps?
Yes, Commissioner?
You stay on board as Yolanda's assistant. You've done that in the past, so it shouldn't raise too much suspicion. That gives you 9 days, 4 days there, game day, and 4 days back, to find what you need.
Y-Corps' fur fluffed.
But, Commissioner, it could take longer than...
Frost wheeled on him. 9 days! This trip is the longest time we can justify you being on board without Greedock getting suspicious. You get the info by then. End of story.
Quentin noticed that the color had returned to Yolanda's face, and then some. She wasn't looking directly at anyone. She seemed embarrassed. Then it clicked.
Hold on, he said. The story on me is a smokescreen to embed Yolanda, and embedding Yolanda is a smokescreen to keep Y-Corps on the ship without Greedock wondering why he's here?
Frost nodded. Yes, that's Plan B. I don't trust Greedock, Barnes. As far as I know, he's involved, although he wasn't on the touchback for all the confirmed messages.
No wonder Yolanda was a little miffed. She wasn't the star of this operation.
Only one problem with your plan, Quentin said.
The commissioner raised an eyebrow. Quentin tapped his own sternum with the tip of a finger.
No one asked me. What if I don't want anything to do with your plan B, your plan C, with your plan whatever?
Simple, Frost said. If we don't find the culprit and word gets out, and word will get out, Barnes, because word always does eventually. Sentience in every system will wonder how many GFL players are involved with slaughtering innocents. Then, Barnes, the treatment you received when they thought you were throwing games will look like a warm welcome by comparison. We're already struggling enough with half the galaxy thinking we're traitors for bringing in the Prawat. What do you think will happen to the league's reputation if there is some unknown villain using GFL travel and diplomatic immunity to murder and destroy?
That kind of turmoil would put the season in danger. It could take away Quentin's chance at defending his title, and possibly even shut down the entire league for good. Then he'd be out of a job. More importantly, so would his teammates and the support personnel. But if they could find the sentient responsible and bring him, or her, to justice, the league would end up with a black eye, sure, but it wouldn't be a death sentence.
All right. Quentin said. I'll play along.
Frost nodded. I thought so.
He waved at his entourage to follow him out of the door. The powered armor Sklorno and Leba filtered out behind him. Then Fros popped his head back in.
Barnes, you're a good man, he said. You're the only one on your team that knows. Help Yolanda figure out who it is, so we can save our league.
With that, Fros left. The door swished shut behind him, leaving Quentin alone with Wycor and Yolanda. Yolanda crossed her arms and looked at him. She shook her head as if she couldn't quite handle the fact that she'd been relegated to the role of a bit player, and somehow it was Quentin's fault.
Wycor and I need a room.
Computer, Quentin said. Please send Masal the Efficient here, immediately.
I will convey the message.
Yolanda wanted to find out who it was. She wanted it bad, but Quentin couldn't imagine she wanted it more than he did. Someone was betraying his team. Whoever it was, they would be lucky if Fros got to them before Quentin did. It was hard to get through practice without screaming at everyone. 2 days to go before they reached New Wittock. Quentin found himself suspecting everyone who had been on the team for at least 4 seasons. Even, he was ashamed to admit, John and Jew. The first message came from week 7 of Quentin's first year in Tier 1, the week after they had rescued Jew from the city of Matterge. And John. He seemed so goofy most of the time, but that brilliant strategy he'd shown in the Portath fighting pit hinted at something deeper. And, of course, John was a killer. As crazy as it sounded, it was possible Quentin didn't know his brothers as well as he thought. He had gone through the numbers with Yolanda. In all, there were 29 players who had been with the team during the span in question. The Prowat were out, of course, having just joined last season. Milford and Haywick were the only Sklorno possibilities. As for the Warriors, Quentin was sure Chodo wasn't a suspect, but Vyrak, Kopor, and Shyat the Thick were. Vyrak would do whatever Greedock told him to do. Shyat the Thick was a known smuggler. If he would sell drugs, was there any level to which he wouldn't stoop? It could also be any of the 11 key players on the squad. Quentin could only know them so well, they were the most alien of his teammates. Out of the 11 human players, only Trevor Haney was off the hook. Surprisingly little turnover among that race. And, finally, the group Quentin didn't want to think about, because it forced him to look at a player he didn't want to think about, the Heavy G. Only 4 of them had been on the team long enough to be suspects. Alexander Michnik, Ibrahim Komini, Becca, and Michael Kimberlin. Kimberlin, the man that knew sentience in the Hurrah Independence Movement. What kind of a person would know sentience like that? Someone in the ZG, that's who. Kimberlin, who seemed to think the Guild was behind 2 attacks on the Krakens, maybe even knew who those attacks were specifically aimed at.
Barnes, get your head back in the game! Are you going to run the offense today, or should we just forfeit to the Coelacanths?
Quentin looked up at Hokor's floating golf cart.
Sorry, Coach, he said. I'm ready. Huddle up, everyone!
Coach was right. He needed to focus on his job. Wycor and Yolanda would uncover the Guild member. Quentin needed to make sure his team didn't get upset by Winless Dione.
All right, boys and girls, we're working I formation now, he said to the huddle. Coach wants X-Lant, Y-Post, Z-Cross, A-Wheel. Kopor, stop stepping up too far. You won't be able to pick up a corner blitz. Stay home so I don't get killed on Sunday. And Starcher, your post is looking sloppy. Make it a sharper cut. Okay, let's get to work. Run it like you mean it. Ready?
Break!
Quentin hated throwing up. He hated it more than anything.
Wow, Jew said. If there was a Hall of Fame for heaves, that would have been a first ballot inductee right there.
Classic, John said.
Just when you think an artist has painted his masterpiece, he goes and breaks all the barriers.
Well, almost anything. He hated listening to the Tweety brothers make fun of his puking even more than the puking itself. Quentin stood and wiped the back of his hand across his mouth. The Tweeties were with him in the observation deck, as was Yolanda, who had dutifully followed him around to keep up the illusion. She stayed a few feet back, as if that made her an impartial observer instead of a participant in the event. Kopor the climber was there as well. Quentin was still trying to improve their connection. Kopor had never been part of the strange punch-out ritual.
"You regurgitate,"
the warrior said.
"You do this every trip?"
"Not every trip," Quentin said. Jew rolled his eyes.
"Oh, come on, Q. Close enough. You see, Kopor, our team leader is afraid of flying."
Kopor's baseball-sized eye swirled with dark red, the color of surprise.
"Afraid of flying? But punch space is the safest form of travel. Statistically speaking, you are 20 times more likely to die on the shuttle trip to or from a planet than with a punch in or a punch out."
A statistic Quentin suddenly wished he had never heard.
"Gee, Kopor, that makes me feel so much better considering we're about to take a shuttle down. And I'm not afraid of flying, I just get motion sick."
Yolanda came a few steps closer and joined the group.
"But you do get motion sick because you're afraid?"
She spoke the last word like a starving man saying the word steak. Quentin wanted to deny it, then stopped. She was going to write what she was going to write. All he could do was stammer about it and give her something else to write about. Maybe Yolanda was cover for Wycor, but she certainly wasn't lazy. She was still going to write her feature story on one Quentin Marnes. An angle like the Galaxy Bowl MVP being afraid of space travel? She wasn't going to let that one go. He looked out the viewport at yet another new planet, a sprawling world of pale green. Like Isis, the city of Daoni was mostly below the surface. What looked like an island was actually the all-species urban center. The rest of the city sloped down building-covered shores and into the water. Far off from the island, miles-high shimmering metal towers jutted out from what looked like a calm surface. The tiny bits of moving white at the bases of those towers, however, made it clear the calmness was only an illusion created by elevation. Daoni was known as the planet of perpetual storms.
"You got lucky," Yolanda said. "A cloud-free day on New Witok is rare. Don't worry, the weather report says a storm is coming."
John huffed.
"Big surprise. And the stadium doesn't have a dome."
"I hate getting wet," scrolled across his face.
"First shuttle passengers report to the shuttle bay."
"Well, Yolanda, I'll see you on the surface," Quentin said. "I gotta head down."
She smiled and shook her head.
"Oh, don't worry, Quentin. I'm on the first shuttle with you. I'm embedded, remember? Where you go, I go."
Yolanda was keeping up the illusion, that was for sure. As annoying as it was to have her tagging along, Quentin had to admit it kept all the attention on her and not on Wycor. Wycor stayed in Yolanda's cabin doing whatever the heck it was that he was doing. And whatever that was, he was scheduled to be done by the time the Krakens came back from this game.
You have been listening to The Champion, Book 5 in the Galactic Football League series, written and performed by author Scott Sigler, produced by A. Kovacs, and engineered by Steve Rickyberg. For more information on the author and for more free stories, go to scottsigler.com. Theme music is the song Heaven's a Lie by the band Lacuna Coil.